True Life Church has for several years had three main principles to live by. Many times it is voiced at the end of the service, presented in media, and brought up in discussions. Sometimes it can be trite and ritualistic and lose its meaning. This happened to me. A few years ago, I decided to study these three principles in depth, simply as an attempt to understand them, but more importantly, for spiritual application. Today, I want to present the first principle, do the right thing. Of course, you're familiar with the other two, for the right reason, with the right heart. I'm going to examine each one of these words according to what the scriptures has to say about them in doing the right thing. I like to explore it in terms of the what, the how, and the why of do the right thing. This is really a basic introduction, and it's my personal journey. I'm going to present many verses that are isolated. At the same time, I attempted to keep the integrity of the text so that even though I may have selected a verse, that it was connected and could be used as a separate entity. I want you to know that I hope that your journey is different, but that you have the journey to really discover what does it mean to you personally to do the right thing. C.S. Lewis said, and I quote, "Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is looking." Theodore Roosevelt remarked, "Knowing what is right doesn't mean much unless you do what is right," end of quote. Whitefish retired police chief Bill Dial wrote this, and I quote, "To the naysayers, I can look in the mirror every day and know in my heart that I did the right thing for the right reasons when no one was looking." Finally, David Cartel said, "Doing the right thing isn't always easy. In fact, it sometimes is real hard. But just remember that doing the right thing is always right," in a quote. So let's look at the what. Do the right thing. Well, the first thing that came to my mind in the word do is action. To achieve, to accomplish something is the actual literal meaning of that. Let me give you a few examples of what I mean by that. A few months ago, I went to the dentist and I had a tooth filled. A couple weeks later, I was in great pain. So I go back to the dentist and I say, "You know, I've got some pain." And he looked and he did some x-rays and examination. He said, "Oh, you got a root canal." And he says, "Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to charge you because it's the right thing to do." Very recently, I met a person who told him an unexpected divorce and was left with two small children. He couldn't function and was emotionally traumatized. He lost his job, he had difficulty caring for himself and needed assistance from a friend. He added that he became acquainted with a couple who owned a large business. One day he received a phone call and told him to pick up his check. And he said, "I can't pick up my check. I can't work." And the person said to them, "It will all work out." 4 months later, he was employed by that company. Worked there for several years, and by his own description, is thoroughly enjoying it. Then he said at the end of the conversation, as a matter of factly, "They are Christians. They did the right thing." Now, sometimes we do the right thing, and sometimes we can be recipient of the right thing. A couple of weeks ago, I decided that my deck had to be pressure washed. And so I happened to be in conversation with my neighbor, and he says, I got a pressure washer. Heck, come on, anytime you want to borrow it, just come over. And I said, okay. So he quickly gave me a tutorial, and then he had to leave. So I got this. So it comes time. Here we go. So I get it all hooked up, and I look in, and then while I'm squeezing the wine, there's nothing coming out. And I say, what's wrong with this stupid machine? So I go look, and I lift it up. I turn it over. I say, I did everything. I know I did everything right. Well, about that time, the person taking care of my lawn, he's out there mowing the lawn. I said, Dale, because he does pressure washing. I said, Dale, I know you do pressure washing. Can you come over and give me a hand? He said, sure. So he comes over and he says, look at this, Dale. I can't believe this. What's wrong with this? And then he had that fateful question. Did you turn the water on? So I turn the water and I come back, and if there's any kinds of shades of red, I was experiencing it. And after a few seconds, he looks at me and he starts laughing. He said, I'm sorry, I can't help it. Well, I started laughing. Okay, I got this wired, so I'm just trying to do it. No, you're doing it the wrong way. Here's how you're supposed to do it. Oh, good, great. In a story, I thought, so he leaves and goes and mow the lawn. So I'm out there, I'm doing it. It's coming out great. So now I got to go down about four steps from my deck to the yard. So I come down, hit about the second step, and the brilliance that I have and my high IQ and great insight, I see the hose laying on the ground. And I said, you know, I don't think it's supposed to be separated from the pressure washer. All right? So about that time, here comes Dale. Turns off the lawnmower, walks up, says, lift up the pressure washer. So I lift it up. He says, well, you have totally broken the housing pump. It's going to cost you at least $200. And I thought, I'm glad that God gives me object lessons for doing the right thing. Because there are two people. The pressure washer owner, my neighbor, and Dale, who did it willingly, was glad to do it, and was very helpful. So I became a recipient. Let's go to the scripture and see, well, what kinds of things does it say about doing the right thing? In Acts 15, 36, 32 through 39, records contention between Paul and Barnabas. Paul wanted Barnabas to join them so they could visit the churches planted by Paul on his first missionary visit journey. Barnabas wanted John Mark to accompany them, but Paul refused. In verse 39, and I quote, and there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other, in a quote. According to Bible scholar Locke, the word, and I quote, sharp means anger, irritation, and exasperation, end of quote. Well, I put it in my language today, if you can't hack it, pack it, was Paul's attitude about Mark. Well, the end of the story, as Paul Harvey might say, is this. Paul asked for Mark to join him later. But see, Barnabas did the right thing because he saw in Mark the qualities that could be used in Christ's ministry. Oh, and just a footnote, you might want to know how that turned out. John Mark wrote the book of Mark. Another example, and I have studied probably more than any one person, David. And I was, in fact, reading through the scriptures this past week some of the things that David did not do. David could have killed Saul several times, but he didn't. He said he would not kill God's anointed. He did the right thing. He confessed a sin about Bathsheba. He did the right thing. Jesus performed many miracles to prove that he was the Messiah and to train his disciples. He did the right thing. All of these people acted, achieved, and had results according to the definition of do. Well, let's move on to some other examples. Philemon 1:8. That is why I'm boldly asking you, this is Paul speaking, a favor of you. I could demand, in the name of Christ, because it is the right thing for you to do. The text behind this, the context is, Titus had a slave by Onesimus. Onesimus took off from him, he fled, got into Rome. He came in contact with Paul and became a believer. And so on his behalf, that is on Onesimus' behalf, Paul is writing to Titus. And the wonderful thing is, don't consider him a slave only, but most of all, consider him a brother. It was the right thing to do. Scripture is full of do's. My desire as you read them, you may have a fuller understanding of what do means to you, how it applies to your life. And I find that as you explore this, God will speak to you. In James 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The translator Nida says this, and I quote him, there are two kinds of love. Love is based upon interpersonal association and deep appreciation and high regard, end of quote. I thought about that and said, well, how can we show our love? And what's yourself? Who's the neighbor? And so I thought about, you know, just engaging in conversation with a person about 3 weeks ago now, moving right across the street from us. I'm outside and she's yelling across the street, hey, I want to introduce myself. I've been aiming to talk to you. Then, how about just talking in conversation? It's amazing. Just talking about anything, regardless of the topic, having a connection. How about baking things and giving it to them? How about saying a kind word? Just being friendly. I'm always amazed how a kind word or an interest in someone is doing the right thing. This is an interesting observation from the Bible scholar Lau. He says this, defines neighbor, one who shares the same ethnicity or culture. For example, in Luke 15:9, the parable of the lost coin. When the woman found the coin, and I quote from the scripture, she called together her friends and neighbors to rejoice. What is a neighbor outside the proximity of where you live? Neighbor can be, for example, in Bible study fellowship. There are a group of people that get together and spring off from there. Other groups of meet. It could be church members here. It could be someone you meet here and just have breakfast or lunch or whatever together. So neighbor has a lot broader definition, I believe, than just the closeness to the one adjacent on your street or thereabout. And when we view that, because what it says, John 3:21, is to love them. To love them. And they will see that. Here's some things that I believe are very important. The old saying, you may be the only people some people read. Tremendous impact on people in my history of talking to other people who either came to a believer in Christ or who had lost faith in Christ but gained it back. The what you do, your actions, indeed, speak louder than words. Your testimony, the things that you do, can encourage believers and enlist new believers. And running through this and looking at the scripture, just some themes that I happen to come up with, you can go through it and certainly have your own. Here's just some of them. What it does in the do is you must be active, must be responsive, purposeful, meaningful, responsible. And this last one grabbed me, accountable. Because where I went with this, I said, God leads you to do something. And sometimes, you know, it's not just necessary leading. You do it without you thinking because it's the right thing to do. And you may not even be thinking it's the right thing to do. You just do it. But here's where I go with this. One day, and by the way, this is a positive thing. You're going to stand before the throne. And Jesus is going to open up and say, okay, let's look what Sam did. Did he do the right thing? And he's going to reward us. For me, it is what guides me. It's a positive thing is I must in my life say, okay, if I am doing this particular thing, whatever it is, when I stand before him, he's going to say, hey, well done. Nice going, Sam. You did the right thing. And so that keeps me, hopefully, on the right track. You might ask yourself, first thing, do I even think about doing the right thing? What is the right thing? Will. Will I do the right thing? Let's move on to the. Bible translator Nida defines the as a reference to an entity, event, or state. Now, you know, I have to be honest, when I first studied, I said, what's the? That's all over the place. Well, as I dug deeper, it had a lot of meaning. The definition is dependent on the context, and that's where I come back. You need to be careful about when you select the verse out, what is the preceding verses and so forth. By definition, the may refer to a unique person and the only one. For example, Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. It can mean a specific time, such as the date. The Oxford English Dictionary has six different definitions for the. One source reports that the is used approximately 22,000 times in the New Testament alone. Now, I didn't count them, but I trust this source. Our principle, and I want to reiterate, it's a principle. These three principles we have is to live by. Emphasizes right. This is a very specific action. One can distinguish the by the context and the enunciation. For example, and we've all seen this. If you want a good carpenter, you go to the carpenter. That person's the one versus, yeah, you go to the carpenter. Huge difference. And so the way I try to do it, and Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. What it means is Jesus, I am the way. I am the truth. And I'm the life. In other words, I mean it's unique. There's no other one that can compare. So we read in scriptures, we need to be careful to look at the emphasis on the thee. In fact, we have all kinds of things. we have if there's 22,000 does, how many are there in the Old Testament? Well, let's move on. Right. This one's very, very important. Again, I come back, you have to look at the context. Here's an interesting thing that I found. Right, in order to be righteous or righteousness, you have to be right. And the scriptures has a whole lot to say about righteousness or righteous. And so, what does that mean? Well, I'm always amused. Sometimes, like I said, the Oxford Dictionary has six definitions. Well, sometimes so does the scripture. And so, we have the things like the right thing, the right hand, the right way, the right turn, the right move, the right situation, the right thinking, the right choice. And then there's the scripture. For example, there's a random sample. All things, detestable things, crawling and creeping things, devoted thing, evil thing. This devoted, there's this woman who, she and her husband had gone to the same football game every year, same place, for 23 years. And so one day she shows up, the regular game, but the seat next to her is empty. And one of the spectators said, where's your husband? I said, well, couldn't you have gotten a friend or a relative? And you're wasting a ticket here. And she says, oh, no. He says, they're all at his funeral. So we need to keep careful about devotions and what we mean. So the word right, and this is really imperative in terms of what we think of when we say right and doing the thing, is it has a heavy morality and ethics component to it. Oh, here we go. This is my attempt. What is the definition of right? Well, it's an adjective, it's a verb, it's an adverb and a noun. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines it as righteous and upright. Dictionary.com defines it as in accordance with what is good, proper, or just. Now we get to the real meaning in the Hebrew and the Greek. And they all offer different definitions depending on the context. Interesting. It can mean power. It can mean authority. It can mean good. It can mean just. It can mean righteous. It can be sensible, calm, and many more, again, depending on the context. So there's a lot of different meanings. So what has to happen is you're reading the scriptures and you come across right, well, what does that mean? And as important too is when you're in your behavior, what does it mean to you? Let's look at some scriptures that help us understand what God wants us to do. Micah 6:8, which is in the front of your bulletin, tell the Israelites and us the what. The Lord has told you what is good and what requires of you. Do what is right, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. Interestingly, there's a note in the ESV, a footnote, the New Living Translation, that says, people have tried all kinds of ways to please God, but God has made his wishes very clear. In your efforts to please God, examine these areas on a regular basis. That was the scriptures that I just read from Micah 6:8. Here's what they say. Are you fair in dealing with people? Do you show mercy in your dealings with people? Do you show mercy to those who wrong you? And finally they say, the end of the quote, are you learning humility? Well, let's take another look at the scriptures in James 1:22 through 25, which is in the front of your bulletin, instruct us. But don't listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word, but you don't obey, it's like glancing at your old face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you will do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. End of the quote. The law shows us our sinful condition and also provides us an opportunity for forgiveness. In Romans 7:21, Paul writes, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil comes close at hand." End of quote. It's in a battle of Satan, just as we are. And he was taking action for the right purpose. Paul was always opposite of all talk and no action. But rather, he was all action with no talk. You know, it's sort of like the simple message from Nike's slogan is, "Just do it." Why is this important? Because we're recorded in Deuteronomy where it says, and all the people did what was right in their own sight. Well, the last word is thing, and here we go. It has several meanings, and again, depends on the context. Here are some of the meanings from the original language. They include miraculous acts, holy, matter, great, every, all, demons, and etc. It's a noun. And what might be some synonyms to help us clarify more for it? They are circumstance, occurrent, event. To further help us understand what things are, 1 Corinthians 9:11 speaks of spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:10 mentions things revealed. And Philippians 2:10 addresses do everything without complaining and arguing. I haven't quite accomplished that yet. Every day we make decisions about things. In all candor, many times we don't think about it, we just do it. But the scriptures certainly do give us guidelines on that. So what we have, on one hand, we have let's do, let's have action, be doers of the word, be doing consistently the right thing. So we got the do. And then we have the what, those things we just went over. There's many, many more. Again, this just happens to be my personal journey. I don't know what the what and the do's are for you. But I would say to you, it might be encouraging you to find that out. And one way to do that, by the way, is just look at your behavior and say, where does that fit? You know, am I doing the right things? And sometimes when I didn't do the right thing, what did I learn from it? Like pressure washing your deck. Well, let's now transition to, and I think this is really important, how do we do this? How do we do the right thing? We know the do and the why, but how? And how? You know, it's wonderful. I just sort of lit up when I was looking at this several years ago. He gives us the answer. The Lord gives us the answer. The first one is study the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Timothy 2:15 in the front of your bulletin. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. The scripture contains absolute truth and is without error. It is a learning process to discover what is truth, to find what is wrong in our lives and what needs to be corrected. Notice it says teaches us to do right. 2 Timothy 2:15. Work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. This word approval is an interesting word. It means to be judged worthy after testing. It includes being genuine and making an effort to do your best. I find this all scripture is inspired by God is being greatly challenged today. And many, many different fronts in my life, more than I've ever seen. And so what that says to us is, you know, what is truth? Oh, boy. When I took philosophy classes in college, I walked out of this. I still don't know what truth meant in their terms. I did by the scripture, but I didn't know by what they meant. And so I think I mentioned earlier, this is guidelines that I'm presenting today. That you can absolutely have confidence. I did a class one time on this whole subject. And at the end of it, one of the students wrote, I had lost all faith in the Word of God. I've got it back. And so, as you look at that, you may not understand it, you may not agree with it, but you can know of one thing, it's for certain. And so I think this is the pivotal one of all of these, is to know the scriptures. And by the way, study, I used to think, study boy, you know, you get out all your commentaries and you get out of your Greek and Hebrew scholars and you read and you buy all this Bible software. That isn't what the word just really means work hard, learn. Now, that's how I happen to do that myself, but it's not necessarily the way that everybody has to do it, because we all have different ways of learning. The second thing I saw on the how is submission. In the front of your bulletin, James 4:7, therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil. Submission is to yield and to put yourself under someone who is in command. Obedience is hearing what the person says and doing it. Let me try to give an example. One time in my life, I enlisted in the Army. And I had a recruiter. And I was suspicious of recruiters because, you know, they meet quotas. But God just led a real genuine recruiter. And I could sense that. And at the very end, he said, son, well, let me tell you one thing that will do you well in your enlistment. I said, oh, what's that? Do what you're told. Keep your mouth shut. And you know what? That's exactly what I did. And I saw it. Oh, boy, did I see my fellow military people. And I got promoted very quickly up the ranks and was offered another promotion to re-enlist. And I was only one from the top that would have been. Of course, God was orchestrating all this. Do what you're told and do the right thing. And do what you're told and keep your mouth shut. Second illustration. I went in the State Police Academy. This was after the Army. And I'm there one day, and I said, I got this wired. Because that's what they call them, cadets. I'm up there, and we're doing physical exercise. And they are tough. And they're all over us. And I'm straining like everybody else to do these push-ups. And I'm fatiguing, but I'm pushing right back up. And the guy right next to me goes up. And this instructor looked like King Kong, you know, the Hulk combined. He walked up and said to this kid, give me another one, and I'm over there, I'm doing all I can do, but I'm doing it. And this person said, I can't do it. I'm just too tired. I said, give me another one. He said, I can't do it. He lasted 2 weeks. He was gone. They were merciless on him. They never, never let up on him. I wanted to mention about righteousness. What do we mean by that? I said the right must be included in righteousness. Here's what Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible said, and this made the most sense to me. Righteousness is conformity to an action. With a set of expectations in any relationship, whether God or other people, it is applicable at all levels of society and is relevant to everyone in their life. And that made a lot of sense to me, is conforming. You see, this cadet didn't want to conform. He just couldn't do it. Well, if he'd have looked around, we had a lot of other people that had their belly on the floor, but were getting back up as best they could. You know what God says? Okay? Being obedient. The second theme I found, or the how-to, was confession. And I am so thankful this is in the Word. Because sometimes I'm not going to do the right thing. And it may be because I'm obstinate, I don't want to do it, or sometimes I do it and it wasn't right. But it doesn't matter. All I have to go to Him and say, Lord, I messed this up. Forgive me. I ask for your forgiveness. It never fails. Seek God. Too often, I find myself not seeking God, but seeking logic, seeking counsel. What I need to do is seeking God first. Now, I didn't mean I can't do these other things, but where's my priority? Where's my focus? And it needs to be seeking. That's a continuous action. And it's a kind of thing that's ongoing and that can be very frustrating. And I feel that the seeking God means also, if you notice there, turn away from evil and do good. Action, turn away from evil. Notice I wasn't do good first, I said turn away from evil. And then you do good. And we have to define obviously what evil is, and most of the time I think we know that, certainly in today's hot topics that are going around. Another one is we seek good to learn, Psalm 34:17. You know what? I found learning is a lifelong process. I have learned more from my mistakes than the things I did right, by far. Boy, they just stand out for me. And I can guarantee you one thing, I didn't make it again. But God said to me, no, you learned. And God is so faithful. Even if he didn't learn, he's still going to be faithful to you. But when you learn, you say, Lord, I didn't do this right. I messed up. And he says, okay, you know what, I love you, I'm there. I'm going to be with you, I haven't changed. And then doers, James 1:22, we briefly mentioned this, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. One of the when I was in graduate school, I'm all about application. So we got these professors coming in, and theoretical, you got to know theory, you got to have something to work from. I didn't have a problem with that. But I was always the person that raised my hand and say, Doc, you know, this part of the theory, if I got some clients, some patients in front of me, how do I use it? So I got written up for it. I got written up because I wasn't psychologically sophisticated. I still got that note in my file. I said, I don't care what you think. I'm saying, give me an answer. You know, application. And so I think it's really important that we be the doers. Now, this is hallelujah, this next one. Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16, so then let the Holy Spirit guide you. Oh my. You know, when I read the Old Testament, David was the only one that had the Holy Spirit permanently. And I think, what would I do without the Holy Spirit? The decision making, everything in my life. And so he's going to guide you. That may mean convicting, because that's one of the things that says the Holy Spirit is to do. He's also there for encouragement. There's a lot of things to tell you how. I've done so much training, and I can say I have never, ever, in all the years I wanted to train, when I didn't go and say, God, this is yours. It isn't me. I cannot tell you the amount of times I would be in my consulting work and I would have an intervention, and later the people say, wow, how did you do that? Boy, that was good. That was the Holy Spirit. You know, like that. And so the time that I begin to think that this is me, I'm in trouble. I absolutely, when I came here today, I had Elizabeth pray. I said, I got, it's you, Lord. It's you. I'm just a messenger. And so I have tremendous confidence. I may not even say it right. All I know is that the Holy Spirit can use as he sees fit. And then along with this, God guides. Psalm 139:10, your hand will guide me. And then this next one, prayer, Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer. You know, sometimes I'll pray for you. I'd say in the last 2 years, I have come to see the power of prayer more than I ever have. And when I tell someone I'm going to pray for them, I pray for them. But here's the thing. What God is teaching me is to follow up. Okay, you prayed for him. Have you gone up to him and said, hey, thanks for going. I've been praying for you. I want to know. I used to keep a log. One time I had a class from our church in my home, and I said at the beginning, it was a several-week class, and I said, what we're going to do, we're going to keep a prayer journal. I want you to write down what you prayed for, and if you got an answer. And we're going to bring them together. And, oh, it was outstanding. People are just amazing. As we looked at all the prayers that were answered. And it makes a huge difference. Because it shows you the power of God that he really cares. And I've had just so many things to rejoice over in the power of prayer. I don't know how we can do the right thing and with the right heart, for the right reason, without prayer. Well, then let's move on. This is exciting. Why? Why do we do all this stuff? Why even bother to do the right thing? And what is the right thing to do? What does that mean? Scripture so crystal clear. Glorify God, 1 Corinthians 10:31, in front of your bulletin. Would he eat or drink, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Another reason is the name of the Lord, Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord. Remember when the pastor gave all the messages on the names of the Lord? Whoa. Think about that a minute. Think about all those things we say in the name of the Lord. Another how is to avoid sin? James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Just a word of caution here, encouragement. You may not do the right thing, but God loves you. God's going to take care of it. Another reason, the why, please God. Proverbs 21:3. The Lord, listen to this. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just and when we offer him sacrifices. Let me say that again. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right. Think about that a minute. Isn't that powerful? Can you imagine God sitting up in heaven and you're doing something right? He's pleased. He's pleased. Another how or why. I love this one because God does. Front of your bulletin, Psalm 25:8. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray when they go the wrong way. Another why is a testimony, John 3:21. But those who do right come to the light so that others can see they are doing what God wants. Remember I said that, you know, when you're doing the right thing, that you encourage other believers and enlist new believers. That's what it's talking about. Really believe sometimes that you are the only Bible that some people read. And then, because God says so, remember this, my old background training, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And the crucial part is that second one, do you believe it? That's all you need to know. I don't ask why, and I say, okay, God, all right. Now, I may struggle with it, or I may not do it, but I said, I got it, God, you're pretty clear. And if I'm not clear, all I got to do is pray. And sometimes I don't even have to pray. He's still going to make it clear to me. So, and the wonderful part of all of this, think about this, blessings. Psalm 84:11. The Lord is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing for those who do right. Purpose of this message is to encourage you to consider, strongly consider, to do what is right. This means you to you and what you can do to apply it, what it means to you and how you can apply it in your life. You know another why? Another why that just, as I'm studying this, came to my mind, to make a difference. Where? At home? And particularly because of my background of dealing with families and couples that had children, parents, you're going to have such, and I'm not talking about just the children in the home, but outside the home too. They've grown up. I want to encourage you parents. You have a tremendous influence in your children and doing what's right. And there's nothing like it. And you know, and sometimes, a lot of times it's hard work. And you wonder if you're really doing the right thing or if it's working. Let me encourage you. I remember one time here I was having breakfast and I saw this young family with some small children and they were doing everything right. The way they were responding, it was loving, it was kind. And before I left, I walked over to him. I said, you know, I'd just like to tell you something. My background is a psychologist, and I dealt with families and children. I want you to know you're doing the right thing. Keep it up. So you parents and adults, when you have adult children, it doesn't change. You still tremendous influence with them. So, after all that, as we wrap it up, it is mandatory that we do the right thing, but it must include the right reason with the right heart. So at the very end, what does this all accomplish? It glorifies, honors, and pleases God. You must, and I repeat, you have to have all three. It's also interesting the word right is in each of those phrases. Word of encouragement, Galatians 6:9. And let us now not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I'd like to address the people on Facebook. Perhaps today you might not fully understand, maybe disagree, or maybe indifferent. Here's two things I want to say to you. At one point in my life, I was a staff psychologist in a prison. And within those prison walls, there was a section in our medical facility of people who were terminally ill. And the Lord led me to specialize in working with them. And so I went to the physicians and I said, I know that I have total freedom to go anywhere I want, but I would like your approval to see those patients who are dying. And there's no hope. And they were so glad because they had wrestled with it. They just took the vitals and they would see the inmate and the next day repeat, and that was it. So I took it upon myself, and the very first one that goes to a small cell is all by himself. And I walked in and I just simply said, have you thought about life after death? He says, oh, have I ever thought about it? I said, well, good. Tell me about what do you think about it? So he began to explain, and he wasn't sure, and he was very doubtful, but he was searching. And I simply said to him, can I tell you what I believe? He said, oh, yes. He was so enthusiastic. So I shared with him. And we prayed the prayer, and he believed in Christ and accepted him as Savior. And so the next day, I thought, let me go in and see how he's doing. And I didn't even get the door but partway open, and he was laying in his bed, and he had his smile as wide as one could be. And he looked at me with a beam in his eyes, and he said like this and pointed, he's in there. Well, 30 days later, he got to be with his Savior. Another one was my sister. For years, I talked to her about her relationship with Jesus Christ, and she was deflecting and avoiding and not interested, and I keep trying. And I remember when I lived out of state and I would go in to visit her, it was sometimes disappointing and even discouraging. But this one time I said, God, I don't want to go again. I'm tired of this. And he says, you got to go. So I went, got to that point, and I said, Sue, I want to talk to you about Christ. Are you ready? And she said, yes. So I prayed with her, and her life totally changed. And in 3 months, she went to be with the Lord. Here's what I want to say to you. Do the right thing is now. The second thing I want to say to you is so simple. I'm going to read to you a verse that sums it all up and very simply in the right thing to do, and it's found in John 5:24. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, those who listen to my message and believe in God, who sent me to have eternal life, they will never be condemned for their sins, but have passed from death unto life. So it is simple. As I prayed with that inmate and with my sister, I'm a sinner. I realize that I'm a sinner, and that I believe that you came to save me from my sins, that you're a Savior, and I now accept you as my Savior. That's my prayer. Let's end in prayer. Father, thank you that you've instructed us to do the right thing, for the right reason, and with the right heart. And Lord, I already pray that as your Spirit moves amongst those who are listening, that they would respond to your unctioning. And Lord, I particularly pray for those who do not have a relationship with you, and the need it is to do the right thing, and it is simple. So I'm asking that they would respond. And I pray for these people as they go this week, that they might think about something about doing the right thing. And Lord, I know as they search and seek that, that you will lead. And so Lord, I commit all this unto you in your name, and I give you praise as we go. Thank you, Lord, and amen.